trouble you for a warm glass of
shut the hell up.
You can't handle the truth.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
We're on a mission from God.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
And a warm hello to all you listening out there in internet land. I'm Jonathan Leonard. You're back with the Entertainment Center. Welcome back to the show after a several week unplanned absence. A little jolt in the programming. Sorry about that, guys. Anybody out there looking for the show every week, I can do nothing but apologize. And hope that you accept that it's sincere and we'll move on. Just for the sake of explaining, I don't like to make excuses, but just so you know a little bit about what goes into the show, every week we usually get posted on Mondays sometime mid to late afternoon. Once the programming director, that being Dirt, informed me of that, I opened up my process for when I film, or tape, or whatever you call it. I used to run these on Friday afternoons. Worked okay for the most part. As I've said on the show before, I got a part-time theater gig. It allows me to see some of the movies a little bit early every once in a while, so I can still bring you fresh reviews, even doing them on Fridays. I was working okay for a while there. Once I found out they don't go up until Mondays officially anyway, way back, you know, this is when we first started doing the show regularly anyway. It's not like it came as a big surprise anywhere, but that gave me the weekend for those times I couldn't get out to see anything early. It gave me a couple of extra days to try to find new stuff to review for you guys, for the show in general. So that seemed okay, so I switched to doing a lot of Monday afternoons after work. Plus that worked fairly well because Fridays are often when I work at that part-time theater gig, so I only have an hour, hour and a half maybe between my day job and my night job on those days quite often, so it's kind of a rush to get in here and get it all done anyway. So, Mondays became kind of the standard day for taping, get it taped, get it sent in, and get it posted all, you know, within a short period there. Problem is, my weekends still remain super, super busy, sometimes with part-time work, sometimes just taking care of, you know, general life and whatever else I do for leisure and all that stuff. So, often I didn't quite get to use the extra time for extra movie watching anyway. And it just kind of got me into that pattern of the Monday tapings. Well, in recent weeks, as I've also talked about before, my wife is pregnant, and by now she's very, very pregnant. So we're in the stage of that where we see the doctor once a week, and that has come on Mondays starting 3 weeks ago, I think. Well, yeah, probably would have been starting about the first week that I missed an episode. Maybe the second week I missed an episode. Either way, we do that weekly now, and often, by the time that's all said and done, late in the afternoon, when I get home, if I get home at all, she's usually around. More general setup, I guess, prep work. I don't really know what to tell you. I can't tell you exactly what I've done as we get closer to this baby coming that has made me so much busier. I can just tell you I'm insanely busier. So, Fridays roll around, and I think, well, I could try to crank one out, but I've barely got any time. Maybe I'll just wait for Monday. Monday should be fine. Monday rolls around. The doctor's appointment comes and goes. Whatever else we've set up, you know, just spending some time with my wife or out baby shopping or whatever else we're doing comes up. And you always do that thing where it's like, well, now's not the greatest time, so I'll push it back a little bit. I'll push it back a little bit. And 3 weeks later, here we are. So, my deepest apologies once again. As much as effort as I want to put into getting this show out there on a weekly basis, and I don't want to stop doing that anytime soon, I do really enjoy doing it, but at the end of the day, unfortunately, they're not paying me for this. So, it has to fall into the category of leisure sometimes, and that's just how it rolls. So, I don't like it, you don't like it, and hopefully it won't happen anymore. Now, having said that, I have some off time coming up when the baby does arrive, and it could be 2 weeks from now, or it could be any day now. We don't really know for sure. However, I do get some paternity leave, just a gross amount of paternity leave. It's really ridiculous how much time they're going to give me off as a father for no particular reason whatsoever. Now, everyone has told me that time will completely be sucked up, soaked in, and there won't be any sleeping, any movie watching, any video game playing, any of that stuff whatsoever. Seems to me, with so much free time, there's got to be room for some of it, but I don't know any of this stuff going in. I'm flying blind here. This is my first, so if everyone's right, it could be another hiatus for the show coming up for a few weeks. If everyone's wrong, however, and I do get some spare time while holding that little bundle of joy to watch a movie or two or do a little bit of internet research or anything like that, December could be the best month of the show ever. I could have plenty of time to get it done. Time will tell. So look forward in the next few weeks through December, though, because one of two things is going to happen. There either aren't going to be any shows at all, or they're going to be the best shows I've ever produced. I don't see it being much in the middle there. It's probably going to be one or the other. So hopefully I'll be here every week throughout the next few weeks. If not, take my apology preeminently as dutifully sorry. Excuse me. Dutifully sorrowful. I want to be here for you guys. It's really fun for me. Hopefully I will be. If not, please give me a pass as I adjust to this whole baby-having thing. Exciting stuff, though. So that's my whining and my sob story over. And don't ever consider it a sob story. I'm the luckiest man alive. I'm far from complaining about any of this. But let's talk just a little bit of movie news before we take our first break. Nothing huge this week. No big openings, actually. A couple of indie flicks. I don't even know if any of them are coming to my town, honestly. Still kind of riding the Twilight high the box office is. Unfortunately, man, I'm like sick of these Twilight movies. I try to be as diplomatic as possible, and I know a lot of people like them, and I know movies aren't all made for me, and I'm not the target demographic of this one, and that's all there is to it, but there comes a point where I'm just going to take off the gloves and throw them down and say, look, these are awful movies. I haven't even seen the most recent one. I've seen five-minute snippets here and there while at work. These are awful movies. They're poorly made, poorly thought out. They're bad storylines. They teach terrible lessons to impressionable young girls. They're awful actors. I do like that Taylor kid, Lautner. I liked him in the second one. I haven't seen him in anything else. I missed Abduction, so I don't know if I actually like him or not, or if he just stood out in a sea of crap, if he stood out as a gem in that one. But the rest of these kids are awful. I've seen Robert Pattinson in other movies. He is not any good. I have seen Kristen Stewart in other movies. She is awful. No matter how many people say she's good and stuff, because I heard high praise from her back in the Adventureland days, I think before these movies even started coming out or right around the same time, and I thought it was something to look forward to, but you watch her in other movies, you watch her in interview segments, she looks like she's stoned half the time, she has no idea where she is or what she's doing. If she's not stoned, I feel even more sorry for her, because that means she's a flat-out idiot. With that vapid look in her eyes, that better be drug-fueled. Otherwise, she's in deep trouble. Just an awful bunch of people coming together. I'd say awful. I don't know if they're awful people, but an awful bunch of professionals coming together to make an awful bunch of movies, and I am sick of them. I cannot wait till that last one comes out so this can be done. However, box office loves it. So that's still riding high. The Muppets from last week is a huge success in my eyes. Money-wise, I believe they are considering it a grand success. Couldn't have cost too terribly much to produce, and I know it's making money. And critically, it's just a darling. We'll talk about that later, though, in the last segment of the show. I'll give you a review and talk about some of the other stuff surrounding that movie. But no big openings for the week. They did reveal some posters for Men in Black 3 coming next summer not long ago. They hurt my eyes. Like, it's cool to see them. They're kind of those visual effects things where you look at them and you see a shape. Basically, I think they just took the MIB logo and put it in different sizes and different shades of and different boldnesses and shades of darkness, and made a picture out of them. And they made a picture out of Will Smith and one out of Tommy, and or made a picture of Tommy Lee Jones and one of Will Smith out of just those, you know, like small shapes that come together to form a bigger picture, kind of like they did with the Truman Show, except just with the words this time. It's a cool concept. They hurt my eyes though, so weird choice there, I guess, but good the movie's coming out. There's been some lizard artwork revealed, sort of. I guess they did reveal a concept picture. Nobody's sure if it's 100% accurate or not, from what I read. Maybe it came straight from Sony, I don't know. What the lizard's going to look like in The Amazing Spider-Man. But before that came out, they actually released a picture of a Pez dispenser. That'll be a tie-in promotion for the movie, one of Spider-Man and one of the lizards. So the first look people got at what Reese Ifans lizard is going to look like in Mark Webb's The Amazing Spider-Man was on a Pez dispenser. That's just funny news to me. I believe since the last time we had a show is when all those Avengers banners came out, so go take a look for those. They're pretty neat. If you can't find them at your local theater, they're in, they're all over the web. They're just giant Avengers-shaped A, you know, logo-shaped A's with the characters in the background. They're pretty neat looking. Christopher Nolan has officially said this will be his last Batman. No surprise there. I think we've even talked about that before, but him and Christian Bale are both out after this one. So, oh, and The Dark Knight Rises will take place 8 years after The Dark Knight, which originally I thought was completely insane. I had no idea why they would do anything like that. Now, the more I put a little bit of thought into it, the movie's coming out 4 years after, so it's not nearly as ridiculous as it sounds. So we'll see what they go with it. My first reaction was negative, like I said, but now that I think about it a little further, maybe I'm back on the board of iffy. I don't know if I care that much. I mean, the movie should still be cool. Tom Hardy should be awesome. I'm sure the movie will be overhyped like The Dark Knight was, but you don't have to be bad to be overhyped. It's just that the hype has to exceed your level of goodness. So as long as it's still a pretty good product, I won't complain too much. We'll see what happens there, and along with Paul Verhoeven's RoboCop being remade, it looks like Paul Verhoeven's Starship Troopers may be in line for a reboot, which seems quick to me, but Starship Troopers is one of those cult classics based on a book where I've actually read the book, and there's a big difference between the original film and the book itself, so I don't know if they're going to base this on the original movie or more on the original source material. It'll be interesting to see one way or the other, but they have brought on Ashley Edward Miller and Zach Stentz to try to pen the script. These are the guys who did both Thor and X-Men First Class. They did writing on both of those, as well as they've done work on the Terminator TV series from a few years ago, and some other stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what direction that goes, but that's very preliminary news as it is. And speaking of news, I'm going to cut to some commercials, listen to some other shows that are going to be on popculturenetwork.com, podcasts and web shows, take a look at what you hear here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit of television news, and we will see you then.
You're listening to a podcast on popculturenetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to check out all those cool shows on Pop Culture Network, plus many, many more. I think I went that whole first segment without thanking my sponsors, Bad Radio Man. I'll have to reprimand myself for that later, or hopefully my sponsors just don't listen and nobody will notice. But I do want to thank the guys out at popculturenetwork.com. They got a great site they run here. They put up with me, so I got to thank them for that, and they give me a space to come out here and talk to you. There really are some really cool shows and some really cool videos and all sorts of great stuff on here and some great people working on it. So check out everything you can find on popculturenetwork.com. It is your number one source on the web for everything you love. We've got toys, movies, video games, wrestling, the whole shebang. We got nostalgia. There's a store. Anything you can look for. If you love it, we got it. So check out the rest of popculturenetwork.com. Man, my studio is a mess here today. I've still got to have my Black Friday shopping laying around. Picked up some good TV deals, though. I can't say what in case the people who, in case some of the people out there listening, some of the ones I bought for, I don't believe that's the case, but I think some of my closest friends don't even know this show exists, and relatives, actually is mostly who I bought for. We're not doing a lot of friend shopping this year with the whole baby thing coming along. We just don't know where the funds are going to go. So, but I did pick up some neat TV and movie deals for family members. Target had some great deals, as always. Best Buy had some pretty good deals. They got some fairly new release TV series, and you can get them for $8 some places, $12 some places. And these are sets that cost you $40, $50 sometimes. So any sets that come out in September or October, if you can wait a month or so to see them, man, you do some TV shopping on Black Friday, you'll get some great deals every year. So that's just a little, I guess, forewarning for next year. Try to remember this episode, save it to your iPod, and play it again come next Thanksgiving so you'll remember, oh yeah, I got to do TV shopping on Black Friday. I'm sure that's how you'll all do it. TV news to talk about. One quick thing I read today, I guess Neil Patrick Harris has been guest hosting on the old Regis show since Regis left. Him and Kelly Ripa have been doing it a couple of times, and I guess he used the word tranny a couple of times Thursday or Friday, something like that. And I think he caught himself and apologized before anybody had a chance to jump all over him. Not a big news story, just one of those like funny things to look out for that people get so offended over for whatever reason. And I don't know, maybe they have every reason. I don't know any, so maybe I'm being insensitive by thinking that he wasn't being insensitive. Maybe I'm completely off base, I don't know. But it seems like every couple of weeks you read where somebody used the wrong word here or there, and whatever that word being, you know, I've had people use derogatory words towards me before, and it's always been the sentiment, not the words, that have bothered me. I've had people do it towards me with no meaning behind it whatsoever, and I can laugh with them. And I've had people use them towards me with hate in their hearts, and I can get angry about it. But it's not the words, it's the feeling and the sentiment. And I think people are so quickly to want to be offended, it seems like. I mean, obviously nobody consciously wants to be offended, but I think they just want to have that that feeling of importance, like, you know, somebody's paying attention to me by insulting me. Well, they don't really mean that. You know, I don't think Neil Patrick Harris reports himself as, you know, an uncloseted gay man. He's out there talking about it anywhere he can or will. Obviously, he doesn't have anything against this kind of lifestyle, this alternative lifestyle, or whatever the PC term for it is. So why you would even think, hey, this guy is trying to be offensive towards me in that situation, I don't get. Except for the fact that you have something in you that says I'm important enough to where this is insulting to me specifically. And I just think that's not the case more often than not. And again, maybe this isn't the best example anyway, because nobody really jumped on him. He caught it himself before they could and apologized for it. And, you know, of all the people who have meanings that were, you know, clearly they didn't mean anything by it, this is one of the higher examples there. But it turns my head every time I hear one, because you wonder, you know, like, is it that big of a deal if a guy on TV says something in opposition to the way you live your life? Does that really mean something to you? Does it have to? Does it have to be hurtful because some guy you've never met or heard of and doesn't know you from Adam says a word you don't appreciate? I don't know. I just never been cut from that ilk, I guess. But, so say whatever you want about me. In fact, email it to me. Let me know what you think. Get a hold of us at theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. And I tell you what, you can call me or J-Raz anything you want to, and we're going to read it still. Maybe we'll be offended, but probably more by the meaning than the words. If you grit your teeth and call me a nice man while flipping me the bird, I'm still going to be angry with you. So send us an email. Let us know what you think about the show, about these thoughts, about any of the reviews you hear, or anything you want us to review. TheEntertainmentCenter@popculturenetwork.com. The Entertainment Center being all one word. Let us know how you feel. TV news, other than that, has been scarce coming in. Well, at least scarce in my mind, because I can't get past the fact that they're benching Community and nothing else matters in my world of television. It's so upsetting. I think this has happened since the last time we had a show. I don't think I've had a chance to talk about it. NBC is putting Community on hold when 30 Rock comes back. They're moving Up All Night over to Thursdays to must-see TV. I think they're moving Whitney to Wednesdays, maybe. I don't care. And Community, they insist they're going to complete filming of the last episodes of the show for this season, and they will air them sometime. But even if that's the case, which hopefully it is, we'll get them in January or February, probably, I'm guessing, or well, maybe a little bit closer to spring and summer. We'll get to see the rest of the season, but what it really puts the fear into me is that maybe that means this is the last season. Maybe we're running out of faith here. And that is upsetting on so many levels. And I get the Community is not the highest rated show out there, but it is absolutely beloved by the people who do watch it, and critics alike. And that has to mean something in the TV world these days. In a world where you can't get accurate Nielsen ratings due to everyone DVRing, all that stuff, you know, you just don't know for sure what people are watching when. DVD sales mean so much. Downloads from the internet mean so much. There has to be an audience for this show that you're not reading. And I get that the numbers matter. I'm not saying that TV isn't a business. I remember when Drive came out several years ago, a Nathan Fillion show on Fox. If any of you remembers, I think it lasted 3 episodes. I adored it. I loved it. It was a more action-intensive series version of the Cannonball Run. You can't go wrong there. Plus, it had Nathan Fillion and a pre-fame Emma Stone. It was just good stuff all around. And I had a circle of friends who loved every episode that aired, which I think, again, was probably 3 of them. And some of them are mad at Fox to this day, but I told them then, and I tell them now, you can't necessarily blame the studio every time. In a rare bit of backing a show, Fox gave Drive years ago huge promotion. It gave it a big opening night. I think it was a 2-hour premiere. It was like a Sunday after a big football game or something. It was a good spot for it. Gave it Prison Break's time slot at the time, so it had a good proven time, you know, track record time slot. They did everything to push the show. America didn't watch. And this was before, you know, the DVR craze was so huge, so you can't even make the arguments that they were just watching it later. I mean, people might have been taping it, there might have been DVRs out there somewhere, but there wasn't one in every living room, you know? It wasn't a thing. People just didn't watch. And if that's the case, if you're coming, you know, if you're over-budgeting a show that's underviewed, you gotta cut it sometimes. But in the case of Community, it's got a small audience, but a dedicated audience. And not a ridiculously small audience. Just small by, you know, late 90s NBC numbers, you know. You still get millions of viewers every week, though. Plus, the kind of audience that show caters to is not the sit-at-home-and-watch on a Thursday night crowd. They're not necessarily a sit-at-home-and-watch on an any night crowd. They catch the stuff they know they want to catch, so I'm sure they're watching it somewhere. You need to find better ways to track this stuff. Plus, and here's the big one, enough people watch it, and way more people even seem to love that show than most shows. You don't have a lineup full of winners, NBC. Even your winners are underproducing. You know, that's all there is to it right now. You got The Office in a slump. And I don't even know if you can call it a slump. Clearly it's in its waning days after losing Steve Carell and everything. As much as I love James Spader, I've never been an Office fan, so I can't say really where the show's going on a personal level. But obviously your audience is down. Up All Night is a moderate success, but nowhere near the level you wanted it to. 30 Rock has always been one of those mid-range shows also. No one cares about Whitney, no matter how early in the schedule you want to, to renew it for an entire season. Everyone hates that show who talks about it, and not that many people are watching it. You don't have the comedy lineup you once did. What you do have stuck in the middle of it is a show that at least gets you noticed because people are so passionate about it. That has to have value. Is it getting less viewers than some of your other shows? Sure. Is it so grossly less that you can't afford it? I don't think so. And I'm looking at this from a business perspective. I'm not trying to be some, you know, jackhole TV guy who just wants you to put his show on no matter what. I'm saying there's got to be value to being talked about, and Community always has an audience for communication and for talking about it.
Someone's always mentioning it somewhere. Maybe everyone isn't sitting at home watching it on a Thursday night. And if you had a lineup full of Seinfelds and full of Friends and full of shows pulling down 10 and 12 million viewers steadily every week, and you dropped one that only had 3.5 every week, I can totally back that idea, even if I personally love that show that much. But you don't have that. You got shows pulling in 5 and 6 million viewers a week that nobody brings up anymore, and you got one that everybody's talking about, but it's only pulling in 3 to 4. There's no reason for that to be the one you target. You gotta get that in your head. You know, if you wanna rise back to glory, you gotta listen to the audience, even if the ones who are the ones doing the talking aren't always the ones doing the listening. At least it's something. It's some area of good grace towards your audience. If you're the network who will put on a show that people really care about, even though not quite as many of them care as you want to, that's gonna keep people coming back to test out some of your other new shows, because they know you're willing to back things that are inventive and that people actually enjoy. Look for value other place than just solid numbers. That's all I'm saying. So that's my community rant for the day. We're going to cut to one more commercial break. We're going to come back and talk about the Muppets, and I'm juiced. Man, I love the Muppets. Stick with us.
Hi, guys. This is Chris Vent here, one half of D-Generation X. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Operation Retro Shock with Alan Price. Well, I'm always telling him Price to... No, never mind. One half of Operation Retro Shock. Twice a month, you'll find an episode exclusively on PopCultureNetwork.com. We cover all things retro. We've covered the likes of things such as Thundercats. Heck, we've even interviewed Larry Kenny, who was the voice of Lion-O. The likes of Monday Night Wars. Somebody was involved in that. Oh yeah, Chris Jericho. We've interviewed him as well. And some other things as well, like Back to the Future. We've got Batman. We haven't got Master of the Universe yet. Working on it. But some other stuff as well, like Sega specials and Nintendo specials. So why not head over to PopCultureNetwork.com, click on the Operation Retro Shock button, or why not even go to the forums and have your say on what you would like to see discussed. We're always open for ideas. And why not live in the past? It's better than living in the now, isn't it? They always say they don't make them like they used to. Apart from this show, of course. And the one you're listening to. Enjoy.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
We are back for the last segment of the day. I hope you've made it all the way through the show with us, and I hope you're looking as forward to talking about the Muppets as I am. Anybody seen it? Let me know. The Entertainment Center at PopCultureNetwork.com. I want to talk about the Muppets all day and all night. I loved it. One of my favorite movies of the year, easily. And it's funny, too, because it wasn't until... I've seen it twice now, and it was a good, you know, day, maybe even 2 days after I saw it the first time before I realized how much I loved it. Part of that, I think, might have been really tired, too. We watched it, like, 1 in the morning, the first night we watched it. But I went back and saw it a few days later at a more respectable time, and it's just even better, which is impressive. It's just a fun, fun movie. It's a shout-out back to an era long past. You know, a lot of our childhoods, we remember the Muppets. I'm 31 years old right now, so the Muppets were a little past their prime when I was a kid, but they still had a lot of gas left in them. And this is really just an homage to everything we always loved about these guys. Jason Segel, who wrote and produced the film and stars in it, did a tremendous job with all of this stuff. If you guys haven't seen this movie, go tonight if you can. Go this weekend at least, or throughout the week if you can make it before then. As quickly as you can, get out to it. If you know Jason Segel, give him a hug. He deserves it. And if you get close enough to do that, give him a second one. Tell him it's from me. It's just a tremendous movie. Kermit and Fozzie and Gonzo and the whole gang are back. Plus some new additions, mostly the form of Walter, one of the protagonists of the story. The story is basically about Jason Segel's character Gary and his brother Walter. Walter is a Muppet. They grow up together. Gary is always there to take care of Walter. Walter often feels like he doesn't quite belong. One day in their childhood, they discover the Muppet Show, and Walter immediately falls in love. And basically, as time goes by, they grow older. Gary is going to take his girlfriend Mary, played by the lovely Amy Adams,
on a anniversary trip out to Hollywood. They bring Walter along to go to Muppet Studios. To cut to the long and short of it, once they get to the studios, they're all run down. Nobody's been there forever. Walter finds out that some evil oil tycoon is going to buy it and tear it down to drill for oil. They go and find Kermit to see if they can get the gang back together. It's classic Muppet fare. You need a road trip to get the gang back together to put on a show. The show has trouble getting going, but once everything falls into place, it's tremendous. This time they're trying to put on a telethon to raise money to buy the studio back before it can be torn down. First, a road trip montage is necessary to get the gang back together. It's just classic Muppets through and through. It's meta. It knows it's a movie. It'll admit to that freely when the joke is right. The characters are as heartfelt as you remember, though some of the voices are quite different. Very similar, but if you're a Muppets fan, you'll notice a lot of differences. But the characters themselves have not changed a bit. The heart is all there. The jokes are great. They're cheesy sometimes. They're subtle other times. They're always funny. It is laugh out loud. It is a musical through and through. There's a lot of fun little songs. And there's a lot of movie to it. They don't tell everything through singing, but there's definitely a musical number that pops up every several minutes, and they're all great. I don't know how much of the actual music Jason Segel wrote, but if he did a lot of it, kudos to him. Nothing that's going to win him a Grammy or anything anytime soon. Just fun, original songs that fit perfectly into the flow and theme and feel of the movie. The puppets look great. They do some neat bits with those. The new character, Walter, is a lot of fun. The old characters are all great. Fozzie's jokes are so corny, they're almost painful. Gonzo's insane. Kermit is Kermit, and Piggy is Piggy. And it's just, I cannot say enough good stuff about this movie, guys. Like I said, if you have not seen it, go out and see it now. If you ever remember enjoying anything the Muppets have ever done, even if you didn't like some of their 90s flicks so much, if you like the old Great Muppet Caper and Muppets Take Manhattan and some of the 80s stuff, if you were ever a fan of the show, either when it originally aired or just watching, you know, DVDs or tapes when you were a kid or anything like that, if you've enjoyed any of this stuff, you will love the Muppets. As of a couple of days ago, I think I checked Rotten Tomatoes. It was tracking at 100% for a long time. I checked not long ago, and it was up to 140 reviews. It had 3 negatives, which upsets me, but even the negatives weren't awful. They just weren't positive. A lot of top critics were saying it was their favorite movie of the year, which shocked me. But everybody just seemed to really jump behind the feel that they went with here, and everybody can support a good, fun family romp, and it's really something the kids and adults will enjoy equally, I feel. It was tracking at 98% with, you know, 130 or 140 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's from the actual critics. That's not the fan review site. These are paid film critics who usually hate everything, especially if it's fun, and they all got behind this. So, like I said, I can't say enough good about it. Go out and check it out. Once you do, please email me. I want to know what everybody else feels about this movie. If they like it as much as I do, theentertainmentcenter@popculturenetwork.com. Let me know how you feel about the Muppets or about our show or about both, or if you just want to call me some names to see if you can offend me. I'm up for the challenge. I look forward to it. See if you can do that. Anything you want to get a hold of me about. Again, hopefully I'll be here with you next week. I don't even know if my daughter will have been born yet by then, but one way or the other, hopefully I will be here. If not, my sincerest apologies. At the very worst case scenario, then, I'll see you next year. I should be able to bring it back once everything settles down, but I really got a good feeling that I'll be here with some quality shows week to week, or at the very least every other week through December. So stay tuned, keep in touch for updates, get a hold of me, go see the Muppets, all that stuff. Mostly, though, have a great day, guys, and thanks for tuning in.